God is able. He is able. I think the world needs to hear those words this morning. He's able. We're going to be finishing up our time in 1 Peter this morning. We're turning to 1 Peter 5. And, you know, sometimes the Lord in his mercy gives you just the right word for just the right time, and you couldn't have planned it any better. He's just good. And I think our word from 1 Peter 5 is really for such a time as this. And so we're going to be looking at his conclusion to this letter to this persecuted church. In verses 6 through 11. We'll put that on the screen if you'd like to join in your pew Bibles. It's page 986. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Father, we come into this word this morning. Lord, I just feel emotional even as I read it, because I know the moment we're reading it into. And our greatest hope is that the words we read are true, and that you are who you say we are. And so that's what we declare this morning. We declare the hope of Jesus Christ into our lives, into the world. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, it's no surprise to you that Thursday morning was a bit of a difficult morning to read the news, right? It kind of felt like a memory that wasn't really ours. I don't know about you all, but you know, history tells this memory with such caution and adamance. It was hard not to draw the parallels between that and September 1st of 1939, when Germany invaded Poland. As events have unfolded this week, you know, we kind of continue to watch and wonder what does this mean for both Ukraine? What does it mean for the world? This is unique for our time, I should say. But I keep going back to a video. I know some of you have seen this of a Ukrainian pastor that was circulating on Facebook. This individual here, as he explained being up all night to the sound of explosions, he asked the church across the world to do one thing: pray. He said, "Jesus Christ is the only one who can give real peace. So please, keep calm and pray for us." I don't know about you all, I've been really taken with the pictures that have come out of just Ukrainians gathered in the streets just praying together. As Rebecca and I were talking about that, you kind of think, gosh, if it were you, I think we'd do the same thing, wouldn't we? We'd just find the closest place where we could find a group of believers and just go straight to God together. I think that we're living in a challenging moment. And perhaps one of the most challenging things about it, especially where we sit right now in this place, is the feeling of an incredible inability to do something of substance or impact. We want to fix it. We want to make the world right. And I believe one of the greatest challenges we face as Jesus followers is the emotions that arise out of that moment, right? Will we be people of fear or people of hope? And I think we're seeing in our text today that if we're going to be people of hope, we have to be people of prayer. We have to be. That's where hope is rooted. Hope is churned up. And so I want to go ahead and give you a little heads up. I'm going to preach for a little bit today, and then we're going to put to practice what Scripture draws us into this morning. We're going to be the Church of Jesus Christ, and we're going to intercede for Ukraine together this morning. That's where we're moving towards. I want to talk a little bit about this hope versus fear thing, and then we're going to launch into prayer with one another this morning. So, living as people of hope instead of people as fear. I'm going to get to the hope here in a couple of minutes, but I want to start by asking, how can we identify if we're living in fear or anxiety? This goes beyond our time. This goes into just the daily lives of people and Christians, right? How do we know if we're living in fear and anxiety? And I think as believers, there's a root to this. And it's the two verses that bookend our scriptures this morning. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. And then verse 11, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. These are two incredible truths in Scripture. Every once in a while you read them. Just as I was reading them this morning to you, I'm getting tears in my eyes because I'm thinking, gosh, I want to know this better. I want to believe verse 11. If we understood that at a root level, it would change the seconds and minutes of every day, wouldn't it? But to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. We want to live in that reality. And yet I think it's easy to read them in a time where fear and anxiety are easy to come by and almost feel like they're a bit patronizing, right? It's easy to say that, but where's the substance? And perhaps they would be patronizing unless they are a truth that is being spoken into such a moment. And we know by the context of this letter by Peter, because we've been in it for a while, that is such a moment, right? These are Peter's final words of instruction and encouragement to churches who are being persecuted in this region. They are, of all things, not words that are hollow or dismissive or patronizing. They are the deepest source of truth that Peter would dare to utter to these people that are living daily as those being mocked and ridiculed and persecuted. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. To him be the power forever and ever. I think as believers, we know that we're falling into fear when we neglect the reality of the mighty hand of God. And I think that we often do it in two ways, and really it's two sides of the same coin. First, on one side, we start operating under, I think, what we could call the mighty hand of self, right? This is when a fear or anxiety arises, our first instinct is to get in there and just take that thing on, right? I'm not letting this thing beat me up. I'm going to get in there and fight it. Whether we can do anything about it or not, we still get in there and we're like, I'm taking this on you. Because we want to get rid of it, right? We want that thing gone. This is, for those of us who are checklist mentality, we want to scratch that thing off. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want it gone. So we get in there and we fight and we do everything we can. We engage it. We talk. We immerse ourselves in it. We pour all our energy into that fear and anxiety. I don't know about you, but I will say for my household, for us, this has been a real temptation over the past few days. We find ourselves, just our hearts breaking for Ukraine, and so we keep watching and waiting and wondering and looking and looking and looking, and you just keep looking at the news over and over again. And we've had a couple moments where we had to tell each other, I think it's time to take a break. Let's take a break. And we have. It's like we're putting the phones down, we're closing the computers, we're turning the TV off. We're cutting it off. There's no more you could possibly do to have a better understanding of what's going on. I think that when we try to control things by the mighty hand of self, that we especially have no ability to control, what actually happens is we get consumed by it, right? Have you felt this before? Where you try to take on a fear, you try to take on something that is not right, so you try to arm yourself, so to speak, to know how to control this, and then you find yourself consumed in it. And are you any better off than you were when you first began? Have you conquered the fear any more than when you first started? No. As a matter of fact, you might actually be worse than you were when you first began, right? Because you've poured all your mind and emotion into this fear and anxiety, hoping that you're going to find that silver bullet of information that's going to give you peace. And we don't. And so if one side of fear is that we try to take control of something we can't control and get consumed by it, the other side of fear would be we try to numb ourselves and pretend like it's not there, right? I think we probably do this the easiest by just trying to distract ourselves. We eat too much, we drink too much, we play on our phones too much, we watch the TV too much, we browse the internet for things we don't need too much, so that we can try to stop thinking about fear and anxiety. Yet that creates another problem, does it? Does it once again resolve the fear and anxiety? It doesn't. It's almost like it's sitting on your front doorstep ringing the doorbell. And you could turn the TV up louder. You can even put some headphones on and try to drown it out. But at some point, you've got to go to bed that night, right? You're going to turn all that stuff off. Am I the only one who's gone to bed and the doorbell's still ringing and I cannot turn it off, right? It doesn't go away. It still hasn't been dealt with. And I think at the root of both of these is we're trying to place ourselves in control of our fear and anxiety. But what does Peter say, or who does Peter say is in control this morning? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. His is the power. His is the power. And just to be clear, you know, sometimes we do bring anxiety upon ourselves, right? Sometimes we do things or leave things undone and it brings anxiety on ourselves. And we've been in that boat before. But what Peter's writing to is a church who cannot control what's happening, right? They do not hold the power in this scenario, and that will become even more of a reality down the road when Nero begins to seriously persecute the church, physically persecute the church. And so Peter's final words to this church is to remind them of their comfort in God. He even goes on to make the point. He says, discipline yourselves, keep alert like a roaring lion. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Church, there are powers at work here that you cannot see, and they are being embodied by people. I honestly feel like that's a pretty big word for such a time as this. There are powers at work here that we cannot see that are being embodied by people. And there is only one who can conquer those kind of powers, amen? And that happens at the cross of Christ. That happens at the cross of Jesus. So what do we do? As a person who loves to fly fish, albeit very humbly, I could not have appreciated the wording of verse 7 any better. You know this, in any hobby, whether it's baking or golf or painting or music or sewing, whatever your thing is that you love to do, there's always that next thing that you're kind of working towards, right? That next project or that next level of accomplishment that you want to work on. If you were to talk to somebody who loves to fly fish, one thing they're always saying as I'm working on my cast. I'm working on my cast. Whether you are brand new into the sport and you're just trying to learn how to just get it out there without it getting stuck somewhere back there, or you are an advanced fly fisher person who's basically doing, you know, this aerial artwork and lands it on a dime, right? Always working on your cast. Always working on your cast. I mean, to the point that I think some fly fisher people would say, yeah, catching fish is great, but I'm working on my cast, right? Because fish is the product of working on your cast. Christians who are trying to live as people of hope instead of people of fear, always working on their cast. They're always working on their cast. Different kind of cast, albeit. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast it, throw it, get it away from you, and do it regularly, as often as possible. It's one of the finer lessons my dad taught me growing up fishing, is he would say, Josh, you can't catch a fish if the lure's not in the water. You need to cast, right? Cast, cast, and cast again. What does it mean for a Christian to work on our cast? It means that we are training our minds to understand that prayer is not our last option. As a matter of fact, it's not even our first option. It's our only option. And we just talked about this. Whether you pour yourself into your fear or anxiety, or you ignore your fear or anxiety, you don't conquer your fear and anxiety. There's only one. There's only one. And we're called to cast our anxiety on him as often as possible, always. The second we recognize fear or anxiety, we cast it on him in prayer. And whether we're the most powerful person in the room at any given moment, or we're the least powerful person in the room at any given moment, Christians, our greatest response to fear in the world is the power of prayer. It is hands down the best thing we've got going. I mean, far exceeding anything else we bring to the table. And to be working on your cast is, once again, to learn to make the conscious effort to immediately cast your fears and anxieties in prayer. It reminds me of a great quote by Martin Luther. You've probably heard this one. When he was asked about his plans for the day, he replied, "Work. Work from early until late. In fact, I have so much work to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours of my day in prayer." Martin Luther knew how to cast. Christians who are not consumed by fear, but are consumed by hope, are people who know how to cast their anxieties on him because he cares. And this is everyday stuff, right? I mean, this is in the workplace when we walk into those challenging meetings, or we're having that day that we just know this is more than I care to take on. We cast. This is with those members of our family, those kids, those grandkids, those parents whom we love so much, but they just keep making poor decisions. We cast. Even for those of us who step into those tense situations of life, we cast over and over again because he cares. I don't know about you all, but since about Wednesday night, I wake up multiple times in the evening, and the first word in my brain is Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Last night I probably woke up 4 times. Ukraine, Ukraine. And it's taking discipline to see that as a call to prayer instead of a call to anxiety. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. You know right where they are right now. You know what's happening. You see it so much more clearly than I can see it. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. I go back to the words of the Ukrainian pastor to the entire church. Jesus Christ is the only one who can give real peace. So please, keep calm and pray for us. Brothers and sisters, that is not our first or last option. It is our only option and best option. And so I'm going to do something a little different this morning. As the Church of Jesus Christ, I feel compelled that the best thing we could possibly do with our time is to cast. And so I want to do that together this morning. I have a couple of prayer prompts, and I'm going to invite you now, whether you feel more comfortable doing this on your own, or you want to couple up with a few people in your area and just do this as a small group, but I'm going to give us a little prayer prompt, and then I'm going to invite you to just pray aloud whatever comes to mind from that prompt. Friends, we're going to intercede for Ukraine this morning. We're going to intercede for the church there this morning, and we're going to do it under the grace and love and hope of Jesus Christ. So go ahead and just kind of pair up, do however you'd like to do this. And once again, if you're one of those who doesn't like to pray out loud and you prefer to pray into yourself, do that as well. But go ahead and just find some folks that at least you want to sit close to, whether you say anything aloud or not. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, not as our last resort, as our only source of comfort and joy and hope. And we hold up to you the nation of Ukraine. Lord, we pray for peace and a swift conclusion to this conflict. Please pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for protection and the preservation of life. Please pray. Lord Jesus, this morning I got a letter saying that there are YWAM bases and churches that are setting up as those who are prepared to serve and be shelters. And so we pray for the church of Ukraine to be the empowered witness of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. And finally, we pray that the seeds of hate that are being sown would somehow, some way, produce a fruit of grace and mercy and love that transforms the world. Let's pray. Lord, in your mercy, we ask that you would hear our prayers. Lord, we declare hope into the world this morning. We declare hope. We do not declare fear. We do not declare anxiety. We do not declare evil. We declare hope in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We join millions undoubtedly around the world in your church this morning by saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. Our hope is built nothing less than you. You are our rock and our salvation. You are our shepherd. Come, Lord Jesus. It is in your name and your name alone that we pray this. Amen.